Amen. Good morning, Northlands Church. How are we feeling this morning? I just want to let you know that Tyler actually gave me these sneakers. They're a little subtle for today. I wanted to go a little bit low key, so that's what we're doing today. It's so good to be here. So it's just such an incredible honor to be able to share God's word. And I'm just so glad to be part of this community. Tyler, thank you for those incredible words. I'll pay you later. He called me Mr. Armando. I kind of felt a little bit old there for a second, but that's okay. We'll have another conversation about that. Let me ask you guys a question. I want to get you involved this morning. How many of you ever bargained with God? God, if you do this one thing, I'm good. If you do this one thing for me, I promise that I will never do that again. So I actually found myself in that situation this week. I wasn't exactly bargaining, but as I was preparing for this message, man, I felt really good about it. I was like, man, theologically is on point. I truly believe that this is what God wants to say. And how many of you know that God speaks? And then, you know, talk about God having such a good sense of humor. As I was preparing for the message, the Lord started speaking to me, get this, about when God speaks message. And I was going in a certain direction, and then he clearly wanted to go in another because clearly God speaks. And he said, none of that, more of this. And then, of course, you know, I try to bargain with God, and I said, Lord, but this is such a good message. I have so many scriptures, and it's, you know, I think it's a really, really good word. And he's like, yeah, I'm sure it is, but this is the way that I want to go. And then, of course, I am humble of heart and obedient, and of course, and I said, Lord, yes. April 14th, 1996 was the day that I met Jesus. That's the day that the Lord found me on the side of the road, broken and ashamed and full of rejection and hurt and so many other things. I went to a youth service in a small Spanish church in Brooklyn, New York. Some of you have heard part of this story. And I remember that's the night that Jesus found me. That is the night that my life was transformed for the rest of my life. And there was just this awesome service going on. I'm looking at my watch because I was only there because my wife was there and she invited me. And, you know, I was trying to, you know, get with her and trying to court her. And she's like, well, I don't date anybody who's not a believer. I don't know who that's for. But anyway, we'll continue. So that night I'm looking at my watch. I'm like, man, when is this going to end? And then the preacher gets up and he starts preaching and I'm kind of zoning out and tuning out. And all of a sudden that the message that he was preaching just captured me. How many of you have experienced that before? And all of a sudden there was no one else in the room but me and him. And before I knew it, I was under the benches weeping. I was just so broken and I was just so full of so many different emotions, and I found myself literally under the benches weeping. I'm talking about, you know, snots and all that stuff. And I remember that even before he makes an altar call, I found myself, I don't know how, but I know it was the Spirit of God that led me to the altar. And I was on my knees at the altar and I was broken and I was crying and I was weeping. And all I could say was, Lord, I am sorry. Lord, I am sorry. At that moment, my sinfulness came into the presence of a perfect God. And these are the words that he said to me. The first words I ever heard God utter to me and speak to me in my heart. And he says, I have made you as white as snow. Yeah. I didn't understand what that meant. But if you look at Isaiah 1:18, God was he was quoting his own word to me. And listen to what Isaiah 1:18 says. It says, come now, let's settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I will make them as white as wool. The night that I get saved, this perfect God that loves me so much speaks into my heart and he says, I am doing a supernatural work in you, and I am cleansing you from all of your sin, from all of your shame, from all of your brokenness, from all of the errors, from all of the failures, and tonight I am making you as white as snow. Today, you are my son. And at that very moment, the Father shares his heart with me. You know, I didn't think I was worthy. I didn't think I was good enough for salvation. And I think so many of us have thought that, and maybe some of us still feel that way. But that night, the Father shared his heart with me, and he says, I will make you as white as snow. It was such a powerful evening that just changed the trajectory of my life, and I believe the generations to come in my family. So let me share this. In a span of 4 months, not only did God save me, but he also placed a calling over my life. So in August of 1996, I go to another youth retreat. I was like, man, I gotta stop going to these youth retreats. God keeps speaking to me. So I went to this youth retreat, and I went up to the altar for prayer, and this youth pastor came to pray for me. And he says, he starts praying for me, and I'm trying to hear because it's loud. And then he's like, the Lord is calling you to be a shepherd. The Lord is calling you to be a pastor. And at that moment, I wanted to run away. I was like, nah, I was so deathly afraid of speaking in public. I took a public speaking course in college, and of course I dropped it after 2 days because I said, nope, I'm not doing that. They said at the end of the course, you're gonna have to get up in the auditorium and speak to about 800 people. And I'm like, nope, I'm not gonna do that. So I dropped that course, and it's funny how God has a sense of humor. At that moment, I didn't know that God's plan for me was to be a communicator. And that was over 29 years ago. Praise God. So over the last several weeks, we've been on this incredible journey called When God Speaks. It's not if he speaks, is when he speaks. How many can say amen? We've learned about words of knowledge. How many of you had fun that Sunday? Pastor Greg led us through this incredible sermon about words of knowledge. We saw about 15 people get up here and they receive words of knowledge. And I'm sure that there's so many other testimonies out here that we want to listen to. We've spoken about to speak prophetically. Tyler preached a great message about the prophetic and prophecies. And we see that some of these different ways that God speaks to us because he is great and he is creative in the way he speaks. He speaks through dreams, through visions. Sometimes it's a still, small voice. And we serve a God who is constantly communicating because it is his very nature. We serve a God who is constantly communicating with his children because how many of you know that God's got something to say? And everything God says, we know this because God is love. We know that everything God does, everything God says, comes from perfect love. And I love that about God. It's his very nature to speak to us. He's always speaking to us in some way. He speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. He speaks to us through others, leaders, pastors, family members, and he speaks to our heart. He desires deep intimacy with us so he can reveal his heart. And through his word, he reveals who he is, his plan, and what he desires. It is clear, just as Tom stated last week. And here's some of the examples of some of the topics and some of the things that God speaks to us often. He speaks to us about repentance. He speaks to us about calling. He speaks about purpose, mercy. He speaks to us about grace, about forgiveness. He speaks to us about prayer. He speaks to us about righteousness, about holiness, about restoration, reconciliation, salvation. He speaks about service, and most importantly, he speaks to us about love. And these are just a few of the things that God speaks to us about in his word. And God reveals his heart to his creation. And this is what God wants us to know about him today. This is the very heart of today's message today. And this is it. God is not a distant deity. He identifies as a father, personal, relational, and deeply invested in the lives of his children. He is not this distant deity. He's not this distant God sitting on a throne somewhere in the cosmos, ready to strike you and ready to judge you. No, he is a father that is near, and he is but a prayer away. He is but a whisper away. When we cry out to him, we cry out to him, Abba, Father, because he is our heavenly father. He is our creator, and he loves us more than anyone. He loves you more than your parents, loves you more than your spouse. He loves us deeply. He loves us perfectly, sacrificially, and eternally. And everything that God says and everything he does flows from perfect, sacrificial, and eternal love. What the Bible calls agape love in the Greek. And today we're going to take a quick journey or adventure through scripture where God reveals his heart to us. His word is not just a manual for life, but I believe that it is a love letter from a father to his children, a revelation of his heart. So what is God communicating? What is God saying to us often? He is communicating that he is a good, good father. God cares for us deeply, and he highlights his love, highlights his compassion, guidance, and desire for relationship. One of the things that God has expressed to me over my entire journey of faith is that he desires intimacy with me, and he desires intimacy with you. Human love often comes with conditions and limitations. How many can say amen? I love you if you do this. All right? Maybe some of us are guilty of saying something like that. But we know that God's love is unconditional. His love is different. God's love embraces us in our brokenness. How many of you say amen to that? He forgives our failures, and he offers redemption and restoration. God's love is unwavering, extending to every corner of our existence. This is something that I've learned. In my own imperfect and inconsistent existence, the most consistent thing has been God's love. Because sometimes, you know, we'll make mistakes and we'll go away from the Lord and we'll come back and we see how God's love is just perfect and is always readily available. It is always there for us. God identifies himself as our heavenly father. Look at what 1 John 3:1 says. See what great love the Father has lavished on us. I love that. He pours it out without measure. God's love is constantly pouring out from his love and is being poured out over us today and every single day. And it says that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Verse 13 in Psalm 103 says, the Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. There is a plan that he wants to reveal to us, and that I love that I can speak to my heavenly father at any moment. I love what the video says. Anywhere, anytime, any place, anyone. Anyone. Any one of us can hear the voice of our heavenly father. I think sometimes in church world, right, and church culture, I think some of us have thought at this point or at one point or another, we've thought, you know what, that's for the leaders. That's for the guys that are, and the guys and then the women that are up on the altar. They hear from God, but we don't. Just want to remind you that that is a lie from the pit of hell. We all can hear God's voice. And that's why he speaks to us today, because there's something he wants to reveal. He wants to reveal his heart. So I've called this message, The Heart of the Father. So what is he revealing to us? There is goodness that he wants to show us. He wants to give us hope and a future. Jeremiah 29:11, I know that's a coffee mug verse, or it's a t-shirt verse, or it's a youth camp verse, but it is a verse that is powerful and true, and it is for us today. It says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good." And I love this version. It says, "And not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." When I was a young person, I had no hope. I felt like I had no future. I felt like I was lost. I felt like I had no direction in my life. And it wasn't until that night that the Lord spoke to my heart, where he says, "I have made you as white as snow." That, I believe, was what started the purpose that God had for me in that day. And that was almost 29 years ago. It's incredible, this journey that we've been on. Have I made mistakes? Say amen if you've made mistakes. Have I messed up? Absolutely. Have I done the wrong thing at times? Absolutely. But let me tell you, my Heavenly Father has never left my side. He's always been with me. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. That is a promise that he gives us, that in every step of the way, whether we're in the valley of the shadow of death, whether we're in the valley or in the mountaintop, one thing I do know is that God will never leave me, he will never forsake me, and he is constantly guiding me and speaking to me in so many different ways. This is God's plan for us, and it is revealed in his word. When we read the Gospels, we see that Jesus told many parables, earthly stories with heavenly principles. And theologians believe that about 35% of the recorded words of Jesus in the Gospels are parables. So there's a reason why Jesus shared so many parables in the Gospels. And Jesus used parables to teach and disciple the crowds. And I believe that in Luke 15, there is a story that in my opinion, truly reveals the Father's heart in a powerful way. How many of you have ever heard of the parable of the prodigal son? Right? I think we can all relate to the prodigal son. I think we can relate to the younger brother. And I think some of us can relate to the older brother. But I think this is such a powerful parable that Jesus shared about the prodigal son, and I think it should be renamed. I think it should be called A Revelation of a Father's Love. A Revelation of a Father's Love. Now, last week, Tom preached just an incredible message, and he shared about Abraham, a father who was asked to sacrifice his son, his only son, the son that he loved. Today, this parable that Jesus speaks of, he speaks of a father who had to let go of his son, but always waited for his return. I don't know where you are on your spiritual journey. Maybe today's your first day. Maybe you've been far from the Lord. But I do know this. In my heart, as I was praying this morning, I felt like the Lord was saying to me, "I want you to come home. I want you to come home. Today is the day that I've been waiting for, and I've been eagerly waiting for you at the door for you to come home." Jesus speaks of this, shares this parable, and it says that the Father waited for his return, and that is his heart revealed in the waiting. Now, let's go into this parable. Luke 15, we'll start at verse 11. And it says, "To illustrate the point further, Jesus told him this story. A man had two sons. The youngest son told his father, 'I want my share of your estate now before you die.'" Wow, not subtle at all. "Give me what's mine and I'm out of here." So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed up all his belongings and moved to a different land, and there he wasted all of his money in wild living. Now, let's talk about this story a little bit. The father actually didn't have to give him anything because he wasn't the firstborn son. And that culture, we talk about the firstborn having all the benefits, right, and the inheritance. But we see here that the father gives his second son or the younger son whatever he wanted, and he left. And it says that in wild living, he started to spend all his money. He didn't have a financial planner, obviously. And he started to just wild living. And we see that the father lets his son go. He loved him so much that he let him go. I know there's some of us here that are praying for family members that we have let go, but we have placed them in the hands of God. And I believe that God is calling them home as well. And if we continue in verse 14 through 16, it says about the time that his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. Now, let me take a pause right there. In Jewish culture, pigs were considered to be unclean animals. You were not to touch them, and you were not to be around them. But it's interesting that in his despair, this great famine over the land. There is no choice but to go into the fields and feed the pigs. Talk about shame. Talk about being humbled, right? Remember, this is something that was part of the Jewish culture. You were not to touch unclean animals, but yet we see that this young man is in such a terrible situation because of his decisions that he has made, that he is forced to go onto the fields and to feed the sheep, the pigs rather. Verse 16 says, the young man, because he was so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. Man, could you put yourself in that situation? That you have nothing to eat, so you're considering eating the pods that the pigs are eating? Meanwhile, back at home, he had everything, because the father's house has everything to offer. And the beautiful point about this is that if you are far from God today, if you feel like you've strayed, the beautiful news today is that you can come home today. Today, you can come running back to your Heavenly Father. And it says, it continues to say, but no one gave him anything. What does this tell us? Some decisions we make lead us astray, but God allows U-turns and detours. Isn't that good news today? He allows U-turns. He allows us to come back because he is just a prayer away. The father lets his son go, and he loved him so much that he had to let him go. Some of our decisions will bring us to tough situations. And here's the interesting part that God highlighted for me. Although his condition had changed, he was estranged from his father, but his position as a son never changed. Even though he was in a land far away, even though he spent all the money in wild living, his condition of the relationship with the father, he was estranged from the father, he was far away from the father, but his sonship was never taken away or stripped away. His position always remained the same. And I want somebody to hear me today. Your position as a son or a daughter of the king has not changed. And today he is calling you home. He's got his arms wide open, and he is waiting for you at the gate, and he is waiting to meet you exactly where you are. Amen. He met me exactly where I was. I had no future, I had no hope, But a moment in God's presence changed everything. And it's so powerful. If we continue in verse 17 through 21, and it says, when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. You know, there's been times in my journey of faith that I have made mistakes, I have done the wrong thing, and the enemy will come and he'll pounce and say, you are not worthy to be called his son. How many of us have been there? So just like the enemy tries to speak, right? God also speaks to us, and he reminds us that because of the finished work of the cross, it's not about being perfect. It's not about my deeds. It's not about my gifting or my skill set. It is about believing through faith that Jesus has saved me from the pit. And that's what it's all about. It's not about what I can do for you, Lord. No, it's what you've done for me. And because you've done something for me, because you've saved me, you've rescued me, you've reconciled me, you restored me to the Father, today I can say I am a son of God. And I hear my Father's voice. So he comes to his senses. And he says, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and I'm here dying of hunger. It says, I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned both against you and heaven, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please make me as a hired servant. So you see, he's already bargaining in his heart. Well, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go home to my father where even the hired servants have more food than I do right now. So this was a situation that pushed him back to his father, but he came to his senses and says, so verse 20 says, so he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, man, this is the part that gets me. This is the part that brings me to tears at times, because this is exactly what I experienced almost 29 years ago, when I felt unworthy, when I felt unlovable, when I felt that I was so broken and I had no future and no hope. Jesus came and met me on the road exactly where I was. And he said to me, no, I have a plan for your life. I have a hope and I have a future for you. And I have made you as white as snow. It was when that moment that I came to my senses and I understood that I needed a savior, and I came running to him and I kneeled before him. I repented of my sins and I said, Lord, here I am. I've made a disaster of my life and I need you to fix it. And it was at that moment that God entered my life and changed the trajectory of my life and placed a calling over my life. And it says, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Oh my goodness, this just gives me goosebumps. And it says that the father was filled with love and compassion. And listen, look at the action of the father. It says he ran to his son. Right? The father had all the right to wait for him, arms crossed, right? Maybe I would have done that, I don't know. But he had all the right, because remember, his son said, give me everything that belongs to me and I'm out of here. And he did. But we see here that the father, instead of waiting for him, it says that he ran to his son. He embraced him and kissed him. Now, let's think about the son's, his physical condition when he was coming. And we're going to read into that. Yet the father did not care that he was filthy. The father did not care that he was broken. Verse 21 says, and his son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Remember, his position never changed, even though his condition had changed. The son comes to his senses. He recognizes his sin and his condition. His father sees him coming and runs to his son. He embraces him. He kisses him. And this is the father's heart. And this is what the father wants to communicate to us every single day. He patiently waits. Every single day. The Bible says that the father would go out to his gate every day to look to see if his son would come back that day. And on that very day, he patiently waited, but he relentlessly pursued his son at all times. Let's continue. Verse 22. It says, but his father said to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. We see that the father clothes him. Right? Because he came back, he was all beat up, he was dirty. But it says that the father clothes him. And listen what else he says. He says, get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. Not only does he clothe him, he puts a ring on his finger, he puts sandals on his feet, and he is restoring the sonship before all the witnesses that were around. Now, it's important to understand that in that culture and at that time, slaves were the only ones that walked barefoot. So even though he came back in the condition of a slave, his father receives him as a son. He clothes him, he puts a ring on his finger, and he puts sandals on his feet. This it's amazing because it really truly expresses the father's heart. Verse 23 says, and kill the calf we have been fattening. Oh man, that sounds good. It's food time. Man, I love to eat. Anyway, it says, we must celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. So the party began. Wow, let's go back in time and let's go back to that time. Think about it. The servants are getting the tables ready. They're putting the tablecloths. They're putting their best china out. They have this calf that they're cooking, right? There's appetizers all over the place. And everybody is celebrating because this son that was dead is now alive. This son that was lost, that left many years ago, has returned. And everything that we see, it is a father's accepting and forgiving and perfect love. He ran to him. He ran to him and he embraced him and he kissed him and he reminded him at the very moment that he embraces him, you are still my son and you still have a place in my home. And we're going to celebrate. It is time to party. This expresses just the love of a loving father. This expresses how God sees us. And whenever we repent of our sins and come running, he doesn't wait for us. He runs towards us. We have a God that will run towards us whenever we repent of our sins. He runs towards us. I love what Romans 5:8 says. It says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. While we were still enemies of God, he gave his son so we can find our way home. And I believe that there's some of us here today that we need to find our way home. We probably tried everything that's out there. And let me tell you something, there's nothing out there that will satisfy the soul like Jesus can satisfy the soul. And take it from someone who's tried so many different things. I've been out there, I've seen what the world can offer, and it just leaves you broken and empty. This is what I do know. God's love is extravagant and immediate. It is extravagant and immediate. And there's so many lessons to learn about this parable. There's so many principles. And there's repentance, there's forgiveness, there's sonship, there's mercy. And a father's deep love, because God is relational and he desires intimacy. 2 Corinthians 6:18 says, and I will be your father and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Now, Here's a few lessons that I want to share with you before I finish about God's love. Number one, God's love is the foundation of everything. God's love is the foundation for everything. 1 John 4:8, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Love is the foundation of everything God communicates to us. Next, God's love is unconditional and sacrificial. 1 John 4:10, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us first. I think it was last year or maybe 2 years ago, I was just spending some time with the Lord. And I said, Lord, I have been in this love affair with you since 1996 because you found me. I was broken, without a hope, without a future. You found me, you gave me purpose. And I've been in this great love affair with you since 1996. And I felt like the Lord said and spoke to my heart, and he says, you've been in a love affair with me since 1996, but I've been in a love affair with you before time began. Right, that's good. And I was like, I just wept, because this amazing God, this creator of the universe, not only knows me by name, but has given me purpose. He's placed a calling over my life. And I will live the rest of my days, and I will pour out my life to serve him and to serve others. Because I want others to experience what I experienced that night, that he spoke to me and he said, I have made you as white as snow. What else do we know about God's love? It is everlasting and faithful. Jeremiah 31:3 says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Lamentations 3:22 to 23, it says, because of the Lord's great love, that we are not consumed. God's love doesn't fade with time or waver with our moods. It is constant, like a rock we can stand on. Right. Next, God's love changes us. We cannot stay the same when we experience God's love. It is a transformative love. 1 John 4:19. We love because he loved us first. 2 Corinthians 5:14 to 15, for Christ's love compels us. God's love doesn't just comfort us, it transforms us, and it calls us to love others as he loved us. Good. Nothing can separate us from God's love. Romans 8:38 through 39, these are some of my favorite verses in scripture. And it says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is nothing, say it with me, nothing. Nothing that will separate us from this perfect, sacrificial, and eternal love. There is no circumstance, there's no failure or force that can separate you from God's love. It is unconditional. It is a gift from God that surpasses our understanding. It is love that knows no bounds, that remains steadfast through every season of life. With unconditional love, our Heavenly Father lavishes us with his grace and mercy. Ephesians 2, 4 and 5 says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And to end, I would love to share just this amazing quote from Napoleon, and he speaks about this great love of Jesus. Listen to this. Napoleon says, Alexander, Caesar, Charlemagne, and myself We founded empires, but on what did we rest the creations of our genius? Upon sheer force. But I tell you, Jesus Christ alone founded his empire upon love, and at this very hour, millions of men will die for him. That's so powerful. So who is this God that speaks? He is a God who speaks with unconditional, perfect, sacrificial, and eternal love. I would love for us to take just 30 seconds. I know Tom led us in a time of soaking last week, and I would love just to take 30 seconds to a minute. And I just want you to speak to the Lord and say, Lord, what would you say to me today? If there are any prodigals in the house, if you've never met Jesus as your Lord and Savior, let me tell you, today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. So I want us to take just a few moments. Can we just take a few moments, close your eyes right there where you are, and just say, Lord, speak to me. What would you say to me today? What do you have for me today? What is your Abba Father saying to you? He reveals his heart for his creation, just like the father and the prodigal son story. He ran towards his son, and he is running to us today. What is he saying to you today? I can assure you of this. What he is saying today flows from a heart of love. For the Father's heart is full of love. Let me pray quickly as I invite Ty up. Father, I just want to thank you for reminding us today of this great love. I want to thank you, Lord, because you didn't forget about me. I want to thank you because you gave me purpose. I want to thank you because you placed a calling on my life and changed the trajectory of my life, but of my children's lives, my grandchildren, and all the generations to come, because you communicated your great love to me. In Jesus' name, amen.